necessarily a bad idea to have a sound provision in there similar to what was in there. Although I don't think we've had a lot of issues in town with sound. And by having one, it then makes the town liable to defend any suits. So there is the potential for it to cost the town a significant amount of money. Secondly, under the provision that was in there, which would have been the same as artistry, you'd notice that it's 70 decibels at the property line during the day. At the nighttime, especially in the rural areas, and maybe because we're all inside, it doesn't matter, but actually potentially allowed for, at least at the source or at the property line, the potential for more sound at night, because the limiting factor in there was measured at the residents making the complaint. So you could have a very rural area and have very loud sounds at somebody's property line, and maybe I'm out camping or my neighbor's out camping and I'm making a bunch of noise, or they are, but theoretically there'd be nothing they could do about it as long as at their residence it's under those levels. So I definitely think more time is needed to assess that properly. I think it's a very tricky part of the ordinance, which is why I suggested and voted to remove it for now, because currently we don't have one and haven't had numerous issues. I'm certainly open to having one in there as a member of the select board and as a member of the community. But I do think it's imperative that we get something adopted quickly, or well, as quickly as possible, while answering the questions and doing our due diligence to make sure that they are as close to what we want as possible. But we haven't had anything updated for years and years. So I feel it's important. And yet, you know, there is the, yeah, we haven't done anything with them for 35, 40 years, so we could adopt them and not, but that's up to us and the town to hold each other accountable and make sure that we stay on top of them. I think the more often they get updated, the easier it's going to be as well. And then as far as the light industrial, I think it really, what it does is legitimizes some of the businesses that have been in town for years, as I think Bill Emmons or maybe somebody else alluded to in one of the things going around today, as well as make an opportunity for people that live here that want to have a viable source of income. And it really does leave the decision making up to the Zoning Board of Adjustment as to whether it can happen or not. It's not just a simple sign off, yeah, you're all set, you've met the criteria. There would be a lengthy discussion and approval process to make sure what was being done fit into our town. I think that certainly is vital. Nobody wants, you know, a 50,000 square foot steel structure where people are making things inside, but if it can fit into our surroundings and made to look like it belongs, then why shouldn't somebody be able to do that, providing they're not contaminating the air, soils, you know, noises, traffic. Obviously there's some criteria that have to be met, but that's all that I have right now.
Thank you, John. And I'm going to go over to Betsy Siebeck. So Betsy, I've unmuted you there.
Thank you. Okay. I wanted to say thank you not only to the Planning Commission, but to every person who serves on a board and works for the town, because I think it's understood, but not often openly appreciated, how much time people who serve on all the boards put into this town. And that includes you, Kevin, who are running a really good meeting here tonight. Zoom meetings with a large number of participants can get unwieldy pretty fast. And I don't think this one is. I still think an in-person meeting is preferable, but we don't have that option right now. And I think that you've been wonderful tonight. And people like Ben, who helps different boards with information that he and expertise that he has. So I think everybody, and that includes Betsy Rhodes on the library board and all the boards in town, everybody who serves the town works hard, and I appreciate it. I have kind of two different subjects that I want to touch on, and they're really different. I'd like to do them separately, but I'm not sure I'm going to be able to. So okay. I'll just go right into it. I've done a lot of thinking about this, and I came up with two possible solutions to try to make everybody feel comfortable with how this goes forward from tonight on. And I think it's a good idea, as it's been suggested, that if the town can get some breathing room and create some space, especially about the changes that concern, that seem to be concerning people, and that is noise, and it is also light industrial, light standalone industrial conditional use permits townwide. So I have two suggestions that might satisfy people in the town government and the town. So first, take a vote now, and I'm going to suggest that the ordinance that was put forward to the town in July that did not have standalone light industrial conditional use, I'm reading this now, in the rural district and did have a noise standard, that the select board vote on that, and then the changes can be discussed by the town at meetings in the future, when preferably when in-person meetings can occur, and any changes to the ordinance could be made at that point. So that's one possibility. Or secondly, the select board votes now on the document as it exists right now with the amendments in place, but the select board also creates a moratorium on any light industrial permits until such time that the town can fully debate in person both the concept of standalone light industrial use townwide and the adoption of a useful noise ordinance or sound standards. And hopefully in that interim time, a townwide survey could happen. So that it would be really better understood how the town feels about all these issues. So I just wanted to put that forward. My understanding is there are no longer any deadlines involved, so waiting causes no legal problems. And as we go forward, right now we are not using the 1972 document. We're using this current document. So it's not as if we've got something horribly inadequate in place. And I do think that the document as it was written originally is basically a very good document. It's a fine document. And I think most people who are aware of what it contains. I'd really ideally like to just put that out and see how people feel about it, but I don't know how long this meeting is going to go on, and I do have some other points that I wanted to make. One is that the letter that Billy read, I thought it was a good letter. I think there are...
Hey Betsy, can you... You're shuffling a lot of papers around.
Sorry.
Whatever's like by your hand, the mic is really picking up.
Oh, because they're right on top of the mic. Sorry.
Aha.
Okay, this will be better. Billy's letter for the Planning Commission was a good one. I think it had some good points that it made. I do have some concerns and about how rigorous a review and how strict the standards can be without noise standards in place or a noise ordinance. A noise ordinance is another way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what exactly you mean, Billy, by certain limited circumstances, because I don't know how in the context of standalone in light industrial, those are limited. I also think that the reference to noise impact analysis is a little concerning, because that's something that the ZBA can, if it wants to, ask for, which means it is not applied consistently. And I think without noise standards, a noise impact analysis is really, it has nothing, no basis. In other words, so you have the noise impact analysis, and then what? There's no standard that says this is okay and this is not. So it's really, it doesn't seem to make much sense. And then also the reference to the nuisance law is another, I think that's a really problematic way to control sound. And Kevin, if you could get to that, it's the last in the list of prohibited uses in both the village and the rural districts, wherever that is on your screen. I don't know.
The prohibited uses?
Yeah, there's a list of prohibited uses in both districts. And it's the last language. It is neither common nor is it recommended. It's subjective and is interpreted differently over time. So I don't know where that goes from here, but I think that's important to take into account, because this woman's a professional. She's very good. I think everybody liked her on the Planning Commission. And it is my concern when that paragraph is turned to as a way to control sound, which the town was really not able to do in this recent problem that they had. That's a concern I wanted to share as well. And then she also said that most towns have sound standards, but I think, and I didn't ask this right out, but I think she actually prefers a noise ordinance. And I don't know enough about noise ordinances to be able to say anything about that, but I did want to pass that along at all. And Phil made some very good points, and he says that while not all industrial is noisy, some is. So I think we really have to think about that in town, and before we put forth a document that doesn't provide for that. And what I really wanted to do was present my two ideas of a way to go forward, because I know the Select Board would like to vote. And I thought those two possibilities, and I can share them again with Select Board members or however anybody might want to know more about it. But those two possibilities are, gives everybody a little bit of what they want, which is a good way to go forward. So that's all.
So Betsy, can you just circle back and briefly recap those two avenues that you just laid out?
I can. Hold on. The first would be to take a vote now that the ordinances that were put forward to the town in July that did not have standalone industrial conditional use in them and did have a sound standard, that those could be voted on. And then the changes to townwide light industrial and the deletion of a sound standard can be discussed by the town at meetings in the future, preferably when in-person meetings can occur. And then any changes to the ordinance can be made at that point. So that's number one. The second would be that the Select Board votes now on the document with the amendments in place, but that they also create a moratorium on any light industrial permits until such time that the town can carefully debate in person both the concept of standalone light industrial use townwide and the adoption of a useful noise ordinance or sound standard. That's okay. Oh, and then a survey in the interim.
All right. Thank
you. Can I just say one more thing? The idea of test driving and the idea of just, you know, pass it and let's see how it works. my concern about that is what happens to the uses that are permitted that don't work and that we're stuck with. So
okay, thank you. So now I'm just going to kind of frame the meeting a little bit, and I'm happy to go a little longer. It's 8:25, so we've been at it about an hour and a half-ish. But there have been some issues raised, just to recap, from my end, and I'm sure for those of you taking notes, that seem to center around industrial and noise would be the two main things that I'm hearing. Hearings, this is a hearing, not a meeting of the Select Board nor of the Planning Commission. And so hearings' purpose is to hear. It's not a meeting, and it's not a place where one can decide anything, because it's a hearing. And to do the deciding part, you go into a meeting and talk about that. And so I don't know whether they are... it falls in the Select Board's court, you know, if they want to have another meeting and a discussion and stuff, and that's zoomable. We could certainly have a little more conversation now, but I'm going to turn it over to Emily and have Emily, as chair of the meeting, kind of decide what we should do going forward right now, and then also give everybody who's on the Zoom call here still a description of the process that the Select Board is likely to take between now and whenever action is coming up. So, Emily, can you zoom on here? And I will make sure that you can talk. I think you can just unmute yourself. Yes, good. I've unmuted you. Or you can unmute yourself, Emily. Yes, there you go.
Okay, before I say anything more, I have two letters here, emails.
Okay, yeah.
I was right. Asked to read
yes,
this you. Evening. One is from Bob Harrington. I am not in favor of the proposed revised zoning ordinance. Furthermore, I would recommend the Select Board take action and vote to get rid of zoning completely and not consider for a five-year period. We have a town plan and Act 250 for adequate review of larger projects to include solar. Pomfret needs to focus on its people and not just on its beauty. Over the last 50 years, it has become much less attractive to younger permanent residents and much more attractive to the retirees that can afford it and the wealthier people who have more time on their hands to write regulations. As a result, we don't even have enough permanent folks to run our own school. In essence, the slippery slope of zoning regulations has sucked the lifeblood out of our community. The average person wants freedom, not regulations. They will seek a home where other people aren't telling them what to do all the time, where to build, what to build, how to build, when they can make noise and when they can't, when they can start up their chainsaw, et cetera, where does it end? Let's rename Pomfret, call it Sleepy Hills. Here's what I feel is too excessive and has gotten more strict in favor of less development for more permanent average residents over the years. 65 feet from the road should be 50 feet. 12% grade max should be 16% or state standards. 750 feet from tops of hills in ridgeline should be 250 feet as it started down when I was on the Planning Commission and made the maps, which I now regret. Eliminate the review of structures and roads in the ridgeline. Allow light industry and commercial anywhere in town as a conditional use with no restricted lot size. These are a few examples of how zoning will go too far and create a Queechy Lake suburb of Pomfret. I submit my thoughts as a sixth generation Pomfretter who loves this town as much as anybody, not just for its beauty and serenity, but for its people. I've been fortunate enough to live here and raise two families, serve in numerous community roles over the years, and enjoy the peace and tranquility of our lands and people. Respectfully submitted, Bob Harrington. The other one was from Doug Tuttle, and Doug has written me twice now. And this is his last letter, and you probably have all read it on the listserv, but I will read the last two paragraphs. Vermont is in need of change. We can no longer depend on our major centers such as Hartford, Rutland, Burlington, etc., to provide all the jobs. We encourage small businesses and try to promote them across the state. We in Pomfret cannot stay a bed and breakfast communities where workers have to travel out of town, and in a lot of cases, out of state to work. These changes in the latest zoning go a long ways to both protecting what already exists and seeing to it that others may purchase these businesses that are already here and maintain them without fear over the burdensome zoning regulations. In Pomfret, we have some very looked up to and respected small companies: Trafalgar, David Moore, Chippers, Keith Chase, Miller Hewitt, Dale Harrington, Keith Sawyer, Frank Perron, Bob Harrington, and a long list of others that operate or have operated within our town. They are all good people, good neighbors, and contribute greatly to our town in many ways. These are the folks that these changes are addressing. Please support them and all other landscapers, builders, gardeners that already exist in our town. Though no document will ever be perfect for all situations, we must remember that this is a fluid document that will continue to be looked at for years to come. And as generations change, like the changes in my lifetime here, so will zoning. The Planning Commission has worked on these issues tirelessly over at least 15 years and longer. When I was on the Planning Commission way back when, we were tackling these issues. It is time to make these changes, way past time, in my opinion. Everyone understands I detest zoning completely, as I see it as a rich man's dreams and a poor man's worst nightmare. But I appreciate all the time and effort that has gone into this and support it 100%. I will not be on Zoom nor on any other podcast, but I do want this letter entered into the official meeting minutes and read into the record. Thank you all, Doug Tuttle. And for myself, before I close off the meeting, I do have one comment, and that is that Doug mentioned Trafalgar Square, and I have no problem with Trafalgar Square. They're my neighbor, and what they do doesn't bother me at all, and so please do not misconstrue these comments. Trafalgar Square started out with a home business with two employees, and at one point Trafalgar Square had approximately 40 employees and 7 or 8 tractor trailer a day delivering goods there for both their book publishing and distribution business. They came in under a home business, but you cannot say that they didn't change the activity on the road and the services that were required. They have since downsized, but they still have 5 or 6 tractor trailers go in there a day. And the thing that has bothered me in the past with our zoning ordinance is that there was no opportunity for any business at all unless it was home-based. So what has happened in Pomfret over the years, and I could give you many examples, but I will not, is that businesses have kind of slithered in under the carpet with no decision-making process or any scrutiny from the Zoning Board of Adjustment or anyone else. We kind of slither in under an agricultural enterprise or a forestry enterprise or this or that or the other thing. And really, and I've been saying this for more than 20 years, it's nothing new in my repertoire of comments, it's really time to take a look at some light, soft industries that could bring young people into town so they could earn a living that wouldn't hurt the environment and wouldn't hurt the peace and quiet that we all enjoy and cherish, but that could give a place for employment so that people didn't have to drive to Lebanon or to Woodstock or somewhere else to work. And I do think that this light industrial activity could give us an opportunity to at least have some kind of discussion with these people that are going to come into town for these various entities, rather than have them slither in under the rug in a loophole. And for that, I will now close the meeting.
So, Emily, just one sec. I do see John Harrington has joined us. I think it's John Harrington.
Oh, okay.
And I hope he wasn't like out in the waiting room and I didn't see him for a while. So, John, can you hear us? And would you like to say anything? Strangely, I don't see your mic to mute or unmute you, which I'm not sure if that means that you don't have a...
Yeah, it means he doesn't have a mic.
Yeah, okay. So you may be trying to talk to us, but we can't hear you. Hopefully you can hear us. Since I can't get anything from you, can you send us a chat? Can you send me an email? There may be a couple other ways we can try to bring you in if need be. But of course, you may not want to comment right now. So lacking.
Heather, it looks like his audio just connected, but now he is muted.
Oh, okay. Good.
I was about to say, he just came on.
Good. All righty. Hang on then. That's often how I am. So, John, can you hear us?
Maybe a couple other
I'm ones. Here. Can you hear me?
Yes, you can. Yes, we can. Okay, very good. Were you stuck in the waiting room for a while, or did you just join us? Oh, hang on.
And on the meeting.
Okay, can you say that again, John? I
just got the kids to bed, and I thought I'd listen in on the meeting.
Okay, thank you. So you may have just caught, Emily was reading a letter your dad wrote near the end there. Just to briefly recap the meeting.
I can hear you.
You can hear me? Yes. You can hear us.
Okay, very good. Were you stuck in the waiting room for a while, or did you just join us?
Oh, so you've got two things going, it sounds like.
Hey, John.
I just got the kids to bed, and I thought I'd listen in on the meeting.
Okay, thank you.
If you're watching us on YouTube, John, you should stop that. There you go.
Your dad wrote near the end there. Yeah. Briefly recap for me.
I can hear you.
Yes. You can hear. Yes. You're very good.
Hey, John, kill your web browser for YouTube. There.
Okay, so John has muted himself. I can't unmute him right now.
No, he needs to kill us.
Yeah, if you have two things running at the same time, you'll get into that loop type sound. And so if you ever call a radio station, you don't want to turn your radio down before you call them.
I think I'm all set now. I apologize.
Yes, that's good. That's good.
I was wondering what's going on.
So just to recap, John, and then I'll look for any comments from you. The industrial issue and noise issues kind of were the biggies, I would say, being brought up. We were just about to close. But any comments you have or questions are welcome.
I agree with what Emily, I jumped in right when Emily was talking. I heard what Doug wrote and what Emily was saying. I'm in agreement that we need to find some place for industrial use in Pomfret. I think businesses are the fabric of the town, and I think we need to support that. I do understand folks' concerns about, you know, noise and all the other things that go along with industrial use, but I do think that there should be a place for it somehow in the zoning. And I apologize, I'm coming in all this late, and I'm just more curious and want to hear what folks have to say more than anything, I guess, at this point. But I did kind of cruise through the draft zoning regs today, but I don't see anything in there that really, right now, jumps out at me.
Okay.
But maybe once the discussion happens, something will.
Very good. So Emily's just going to close this out, and she is going to kind of tell everybody the path forward for the select board, or the potential paths forward. Okay.
Thank you for letting me talk.
Sure.
Do you still have me muted, Kevin?
No, you're live.
Okay, it's a good thing I didn't say something inappropriate then, wasn't it? I wouldn't have done that. Anyway, I want to thank you all for coming to the meeting this evening. This turnout was great, and we appreciate all of your comments. The path forward for the select board will be discussed at Wednesday night's select board meeting, also by Zoom. It is not anticipated, at least for me, that we are going to necessarily discuss all of the comments in detail, but we will determine whether there will be another hearing, what our time constraints are, if there are any. And I got a little bit different opinion about certain things from a VLCT lawyer today than what came on Friday, or a little bit of a different twist when I asked a different question. And we will determine what the select board is going to take for a path forward at our meeting, or we'll at least discuss it. We may not make a decision on Wednesday, but I do think that personally, it is my thought that one way or another, we need to determine what our path forward will be and make a decision and then follow that path. And I do not know myself what that will be, but that is a decision the board will have to make. And I want to thank Kevin for running the show. I think you did a fantastic job. I appreciate that. And taking the time to do that on your own time. And I guess I would look to a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
So moved.
I need a second.
Second.
And unless the vote to end the meeting is unanimous, I have to do a roll call vote. So let's just say, is anyone not in favor of ending the meeting? Then I assume that it will be a unanimous vote. All those in favor of adjourning the meeting at this time?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. And none are opposed? Correct. And the meeting is over, and we thank you all.
Thank you all. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
For the record, we had 40 people, including myself.